Well, and I guess you can judge by that theme song. Wonder Woman Suzanne Wright is about to join us. And it's always a pleasure to welcome Suzanne. And we're going to chat about culinary travel in Jordan. Welcome home, and thank you for joining us on Talking Travel today, Suzanne.
Hey, Roy.
It was a long trip back, huh?
You know the old saying, it's easy to get there, hard to get back.
Yeah.
That's right. It was a great trip, and a wonderful experience.
Well,
you know, you were there.
I was there, yeah. What we're going to talk about, as I understand it, we're going to talk about the culinary travel, which we've already mentioned, but what I think that people need to know that in spite of all the exotic foods, there's still the basics. You know, you still have your continental restaurants, you still have your McDonald's, but we're going to take it to another level, are we not?
We are always taking it to another level, Roy. I mean, one of the big lures, as you well know, of traveling in the Middle East is the fantastic food opportunities that await. So I personally think it would be nuts to go to McDonald's, but yes, that is there, and certainly most of the hotels that our listeners would be staying in Jordan, 3-, 4-, 5-star level hotels, are going to offer all the continental food that you know you could get at home.
Exactly. And then let's go to the next level. Why don't you start? I don't have any script for this because
because I haven't written anything for you. That's why I don't have a script. I literally just, so listeners know, I literally just got back in town and sort of recovering on Sunday, so I just haven't been able to pull anything together. But I've got some notes, and I thought a good place to start is with the Middle Eastern version of tapas, or small plates, or appetizers,
right,
which is called meza. And meza might possibly be a word derived from the Persian, which means taste or relish. And meza are found actually not just in the Middle East, but extending all the way through the Mediterranean. You can find meza, both hot and cold, on menus in Turkey, in Greece. You can find them in Morocco, so throughout North Africa, you know, all that sort of Mediterranean area. And it's just a fantastic way to eat. Extremely healthy, provides a lot of energy, and it's inexpensive. You know, the big bonus for folks is, you know, it's a very inexpensive, authentic, local way to eat. So I just jotted down some things that I had in Jordan that listeners might want to check out if they make it to that part of the world. So things that we can find, like, in our grocery store that we easily are familiar with, things like hummus, which is the chickpea dip that's very, very popular. I mean, you know, if you've got a Whole Foods, you've got, you know, or you've got a Kroger or a Publix, you can definitely buy prepackaged, but there's nothing right like having it freshly made.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Presented in these bowls with beautiful lemon slices and a swirl of olive oil on top that was, you know, probably just pressed and bottled, you know, 20 kilometers down the road.
And it seemed to me that in almost every meal, these
right
types of dishes preceded the entree.
Yes. So they would be like, in America, they would be like our version of an appetizer.
Exactly.
They are meant to sort of stimulate your appetite.
Exactly.
And so you will get, typically you will sit down, and as you said, you'll get maybe 6 or 8 bowls of different kinds of meza. So you can expect to see, as I said, the chickpea dip called hummus. You can expect to see baba ganoush, which is the smoky eggplant dip. And that's always provided with fresh, incredibly well-baked pita bread. And if you haven't had fresh, well-baked pita bread at the source, you will not believe it. It bears no resemblance to what we buy in the grocery store.
Yeah, it sure is.
Unbelievable. You will also likely get grilled vegetables. So you might get zucchini, you might get peppers that are grilled, very simply grilled, brushed with olive oil, you know, red and yellow peppers. You will also likely get tabbouleh, which is a really light salad that is based with bulgur wheat, cracked bulgur wheat, which is a tiny, tiny grain, very light, much lighter than couscous even. That's chopped together with parsley and tomatoes and lemon juice and mint. So that's very fresh. And you know, as you experience, I mean, Jordan is a warm weather climate, so this kind of eating is meant to be refreshing. And tabbouleh is a great example of that. You might get cheese. You might get a feta cheese, or you might get a halloumi cheese that's served. And something that I discovered that I had not had before, which I thought was fantastic, is called shanklish, which is an aged cow or sheep milk cheese that's kind of rolled into tiny balls and then covered with some spices. I want to talk a little bit more about the spices in a moment, called za'atar. And then it's very pungent. The cheese kind of would be somewhat like a gorgonzola. It would have that kind of flavor profile, kind of a rich, pungent profile. And then it would be tossed with olive oil and onions and diced tomatoes. Really terrific.
Yeah, and you know, the preparation is fun and wonderful, which I'm sure you're going to get to a little bit later.
Yes, absolutely. I want to tell you about my cooking class, for sure. So, and then you might even get something like fattoush, which is a wonderful sort of basic, if you will, salad, you know, with lettuce and tomatoes and onions and olives. But then it's topped with fried pita strips. So it just has a nice textural contrast. Really terrific. So, and of course, you might get falafel, which some listeners may know that falafel is... That's a vegetarian-friendly dish, as are all these dishes, really. We haven't talked about any meat-based dishes. But that's fried chickpeas, often wrapped in a sandwich and served with tahini sauce, which is made from sesame seeds. So, you know, just really incredible. And certainly if people have, you know, food challenges, this is all very stomach-friendly kinds of stuff. And I wanted to mention za'atar because I fell in love with it when we were, you know, in Amman. We ate it Amman, in the capital. We ate at a restaurant that made fresh baked bread with this amazing brushed olive oil, and then topped with this spice mixture that is just incredible. I brought home several packets of it, but it's easy to make. It's basically dried thyme with toasted sesame seeds, sumac, and perhaps just the tiniest bit of chili. And it's, again, it just wakes up your taste buds. It's just an incredible light and very flavorful and just rich, aromatic. When it's baking, it smells incredible, kind of... you know, bread. I mean, again, it doesn't bear any resemblance to the bread baskets we get at home.
Right, exactly. It's just wonderful. You're absolutely right.
So that's the story there. And then, you know, an interesting thing, too, is, you know, let's be honest, I was in Jordan for 10 days. I certainly succumbed to more than one continental omelet, you know, at the breakfast buffet.
Right.
But I would encourage listeners to try, again, another Middle Eastern breakfast staple is called foul. F-O-U-L, and that's basically boiled fava beans, which doesn't sound very good and is rather simple and bland, but then it's the condiments that you put on top, onions, chili, tomato, olive oil, and it is incredibly, again, it's protein rich, really keep you going as you're touring, and it's wonderful, and I mean, it's beautifully served. It's served usually in a clay vessel, and it's you just sort of scoop out the beans and then add your own seasonings to taste. So that's tremendous.
Now, did you find that at the hotels, even at the breakfast buffets, they had a lot of variety of this type
of
food as well? So you could experiment and really enjoy the culture.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if you're experimenting at breakfast, I mean, za'atar was often served at breakfast. The bread I was just talking about with the spices. You can try it at your buffet, which is often, you know, included in the American plan at your hotel, and decide if that's something then that you want to order and explore, you know, when you're out at your own on a restaurant.
That's exactly right. Yes, and then not only that, but when you get to talk to some of the waiters that around the buffet, and they do explain what it's all about, then when you are in the restaurant, you can order, as you say, you can order these things, and it's wonderful.
And you really get a big thumbs up from the regional visitors. I mean, I cannot tell you how many Middle Eastern travelers and travelers in the region, in the Gulf states and the Arab states, actually said, oh, you like Ful, or oh, you like za'atar. Yes, yes, I love it. So, you know, it's another way of, you know, food of building bridges is a really good conduit for...
And they know you've immersed yourself into the culture. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, sure, you know, just mix it up. Have your omelet one day and try your beans the next day. And I want to put in a little plug on the other end of the meal. So you start with these amazing appetizers, and then you're going to have amazing shish kebabs and lamb dishes, and we don't have time to go into all those. But there are some incredible desserts that listeners should really be on the lookout for as well. Roy, you probably know very well baklava, which, again, is a dessert that's made with honey and crushed nuts.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Wonderful phyllo dough, very, very rich, very... sticky and wonderful. There, of course, you'll find baklava throughout Jordan, but you'll also find some other really interesting desserts that utilize rose water as a beautiful aromatic and flavorful addition to something like, say, a milk-based pudding or a custard.
Right.
And I know you remember those
absolutely
from eating in Jordan, and they're just an incredible culinary taste, and one that we don't often get to have in our culture here in the U.S. So.
And the other helpful thing, I was Gisele with you. I don't know who.
Yes, sure, for a lot of the meals, right?
Right, and probably Abraham, and they took the time to explain to us as we went along about some of these dishes, and that made it a lot easier.
Absolutely. Oh, and, you know, I want to tell you, Abraham took us to one of the top experiences for me was I love eating street food. And we went in Amman to just, you know, a vendor, literally sort of a storefront vendor. And
right.
There were people lined up on the street of all ages. You know, I'm talking about, you know, kids just off motorcycles to businessmen in suits, who were eating these, and I couldn't quite catch the name of the food, but it was sweetened goat cheese with shredded dough on top and then covered in honey and pistachios and just served very simply on a paper plate, and I think it was the equivalent of a quarter.
Yeah, you have the whole production room here nodding their heads saying, yes, that sounds great. Now, I want to tell you one other thing, because we're running a little short on time. We need to talk about the Petra Kitchen.
Oh, fantastic.
And now, let me just share something with you.
Sure.
On Skype, we've advised the owner of Petra Kitchen that we're on, and he is now listening live. So he's going to enjoy the next segment. So let's go straight to the Petra Kitchen and your cooking lesson.
Oh, well, great.
And all this.
Well, this was really a highlight. First of all, any visitor to Jordan will, of course, make a pilgrimage to Petra, which is, you know, believed to be one of the 8th wonders of the world. So it's incredible. And right there in the shadows of this amazing rose pink sandstone architectural wonder is the Petra Kitchen. And we showed up in mass. Our group showed up in mass. And we started chopping, and we started dicing, and we started squeezing lemons.
In your little apron.
Cooking sauces, and Chef Tariq was so much fun, and we had such a great time. We made, I've got our menu here, and it was really fun, because all the things that I've mentioned are so easy to make. What's really great about Middle Eastern cooking is a lot of it is super simple, few ingredients. Much of it does not even have to be cooked.
I was a little slow on the chopping.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I kept all my digits, which I thought was the important thing. But we made lentil soup, which was terrific. I'm looking at it. It had 8 ingredients. I mean, it was super easy. We made a wonderful eggplant dip. We made the classic Arabic salad, which is, you know, basically mint, pepper, tomatoes, cucumbers, and parsley. Lots of chopping.
Yep.
We made tabbouleh.
Right.
We made, one of the folks in our group made these amazing baked cheese triangles that were stuffed with a combination of cheeses, including feta, and then baked until they were golden brown. We made a chicken dish that was fantastic with rice and, you know, could have served literally the whole block. Might have served all the tourists that, you know, poured out of Petra that afternoon. Just very generous, which, again, hospitality in the Middle East is really unparalleled. And we just had so much fun. It was just a great, great opportunity because the Petra Kitchen is not a restaurant. It's a place to go to learn culinary techniques. And we had each table for our group only had like three or four people around it.
Yep.
So we had the attention of Chef Tarek, who's, you know, going from table to table along with his assistant. And then, of course, the advantage is we got to sit down and eat our, you know.
And a cold beer didn't hurt.
No, you know what? Listeners have to absolutely know about St. George wine. It is an amazing red table wine produced in Jordan in one of the areas we went to. I think it was Mahaba. And that's just a great red drinking wine that, you know, I'd stack it up against the best French table wines or Chilean table wines.
Well, what's also interesting is right now I'm getting Skype messages from the gang at the Petra Kitchen saying, tell her hi, and we enjoyed her company. So,
well, I enjoyed it too. And in fact, if readers will log on to my website, www.wanderwomanonline.com, I will very shortly have some pictures up of the cooking school.
That's great.
Yes, absolutely, because we had a great time, and it was fun to be able to say, hey, we can make this repast at home for our friends and family.
And they were lovely people and very hospitable and made us feel like family, did they not?
You bet. You said it. I mean, that was just the feeling we had throughout the entire region. Nothing but friendly. You're welcome to our country. You're welcome to our region. We want to share with you what we have to offer. So it was a tremendous experience.
Absolutely. Suzanne, we've got to run. I thank you very much. It was a fun chat, and it's nice just to wing it as we did. And I think people will look forward to experiencing those types of things, and hopefully they will. I'm glad to know that there's a website with this information on, and we will see that that information gets up on ours. So
that's
bye
great.
For now, and welcome back.
Thanks so much, Roy. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.